better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. Great finish to a great game last night. You know, we lost that last year. But wait a minute. We did lose it last year. So, Coach Musselman, for real, I mean, this guy's feeling more with less. So, hats off to him. You guys mentioned the name yesterday, and I got thinking about it. Greg Schiano. $4 million a year, 8 years, but he said no facilities, and they weren't going to give any more money to pay coordinators. And I thought, well, we've got great facilities. We can take care of the coordinators. What do you think about him?
This one's a tough one because I've been asked this too. It's not that I would be totally just thinking it's the worst hire of all time, but I don't know, man, because listen, the last time he was a head coach in college football was 2011. And which he was doing a phenomenal job at Rutgers. I mean, in 06, he won 11-2, then 8-5, 8-5, 9-4, 4-8, then back to 9-4. So to do that at Rutgers is not easy at all. And then he goes to the NFL at Tampa Bay, goes 7-9, 4-12. So he hasn't been a head coach since 2013. He's been at Ohio State. He's had some, obviously been behind Urban Meyer. Like, all of that is really good experience, and his resume is really good as far as that goes. But I just don't know if that's that type of hire that's going to get everybody
energize,
going.
Unify. And you wonder, you know, there's obviously people at Tennessee that took exception to him being named a top candidate for the job and was going to get the job. And, you know,
had to pay him.
They'd pay him a buyout because he'd signed a deal and had to negotiate that. And the protesters went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that's their right, their opinion. And the administration, you know, bowed to that. Would there be that kind of response here in our state? Would our fan base say, no, we don't want this guy because of past involvement in one of the worst scandals to ever rock sports? Just in being an arm's length away, you know, maybe two arm lengths away. You know, but at the same time, that other person's ready to talk to Hugh Freeze or Urban Meyer. So I don't know. I don't always get the hypocrisy in some of the opinions out there.
Yeah.
I mean, bad is bad, wrong is wrong, right is right, you know.
No change in that.
Right.
But, I mean, but as far as...
there's degrees to everything.
Of course there is.
But the same person that would be against Greg Schiano is likely going to be I'd take Urban Meyer.
Okay. Yeah. But, and the main thing, and the main difference, I think, would be, like, for somebody like me, and appreciate the phone call, Rod, as always, man, is that, you know, Urban Meyer would energize, you know, if they're not hiring him. But, just saying that, obviously, you can overlook some of the past issues that he's had because you know that he gets results. And Greg Schiano, and I don't know if this is a legitimate concern, Tommy, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I always get a little nervous about coaches who seem like, hey, you got a great resume, got everything going for you, you've been a head coach before, but yet no one's hired you as a head coach in quite some time.
Well, I mean, the whole...
You know, maybe it's wrong for me to feel that way, but that's how I've always just kind of felt about it.
I think when you're looking at a job, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's Arkansas, whether it's some of the other jobs he's put his name in for, ADs, they don't want to have to go to explain to their board and to their chancellor, their university president, we want to hire this guy, and then comma, but, and then here's what's going on, but here's why we think it's time for him to revitalize his career at our university. There's always other options that don't come with that. So has time passed? Has enough time passed? I don't know. I just don't think he's a serious candidate for this Arkansas job.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that's the direction that Hunter Yurecek's looking, but we may be all surprised by that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that would be something that would have to be like way down the road, and like they have a lot of other people say no, but... I don't know. You know, it's kind of like the same thing and a little different circumstance, I know, with the background, but it's almost like the same thing with like a Brent Venables, where you always just wondered, like, how's that guy never gotten a shot?
He must be the worst interview ever.
Yeah, it has to be. Because
ever.
Because, I mean, Tommy, there have been many, many, many worse hires made, or at least worse ideas made for a hire than Brent Venables. But yet Brent Venables has never been a head coach. And it just always makes you wonder if there's something about it. So that's kind of where I'm at with a Greg Schiano. It's like, okay, so what is it about him?
But, you know, there's guys that win the interview and can't coach. See Chad Morris. I mean, the only thing he won at Arkansas was the interview. So, you know, can the guy coach? Can he recruit? Can he develop and retain a staff of quality coaches to, you know, develop players, recruit players, retain players? I'm telling you, retention of players is going to become more and more of a thing you better keep up with because of the transfer portal. You know, you don't have to go beg a coach for a release anymore. Just put your name in there. You may have to sit, but, you know, you can get out of there without begging the coach to let me go play elsewhere. Play where you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so retention of players is going to become a bigger thing to measure coaches by as the seasons passes by here with the new transfer rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I got a request here from the 479 on the Cherokee Casino hotline.
They want me to read my tweet again?
No, surprisingly not. Oh, okay. They actually want something that's actually good. Chuck Barrett's call of the game winner last night.
Joe to Jones. Got to hurry now. 3, 2, 1. Jones for the win. He got it. Mason Jones banks in a three with 0.1 seconds to play. Arkansas's got the lead 62-61. Prayer answered, and the Hogs are up by a point.
Well, that wasn't that true. Prayer now, answered.
If Chuck would have just hollered, "Happy Thanksgiving, everyone," you'd have thought it's the greatest thing ever.
No, I would have texted Chuck, and I say, "I am going to protest you tomorrow on the show."
He's got you blocked.
I know, He blocked on Twitter. Yeah, probably.
Happy Thanksgiving. That would have been the best call in the history of sports.
I will admit, if he actually did that, then I probably appreciate it more because that would be like quick on your toes.
Yeah.
But when you do it though, Tommy, it's kind of just, I don't know. It's like a dad joke.
You just can't give me the credit.
No, I'm giving you credit because I said it made me laugh. It made me laugh. I'm just telling you that when I saw something like that, I immediately thought of a dad joke, like Maddie T said, it's a dad joke. And it worked.
Not all dad jokes are bad, though.
No, I didn't. And again, I didn't say that. It's just when I look at it, I crack up because I'm like, that is the most Tommy Kraft tweet right there. Because I feel like you were probably smiling
just
for you. I feel like when you were typing it on your phone, you're smiling to yourself.
I hope I can get this in before someone else thinks of it.
You're a fat kid that just found a piece of candy in his pocket. You're sitting there smiling and grinning.
Why
and
you gotta make it personal?
I'm just saying.
Why you gotta make it personal?
Just saying. I know you. I know that that's probably the way you were looking at it. So, but it was very clever, and that's why you got so many likes. And see, that's what you got to do on Twitter, Tommy. That's how you get famous. You just do stuff like that. 300 likes for you. That's big time.
Oh, 311 now.
Yeah,
312.
You're about to get another retweet.
Yeah, it just keeps launching. Yeah. We got to get this thing to 500 before the show's over.
Yeah. 4,400 people follow you on Twitter. Why? You don't tweet.
For gems for like
knowledge.
That. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for
knowledge for, and humor.
For fire tweets like that, for your fire takes of Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Mason Jones for the win.
I can't this morning. I absolutely can't.
Hey. Just wish Chuck would have thought of it first in the moment.
Well, that's why you should.
He's too busy fist pumping, you know.
As good as it would have been for Chuck to say that, it would have been better if Zimmerman just screamed it randomly as soon as it happened.
It's the Thanksgiving miracle.
Yeah, just something like that. If Zimmerman would have stood up and yelled that, that's what would have made that just so much better. So, my goodness, that was pretty fantastic. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ethan is in Mountain View. What's going on, Ethan?
What's up, guys? First of all, I love the tweet. It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
You appreciate quality. You're a man of quality, I can tell.
Yes, I think I was one of the first to like it. It was fantastic.
John did not appreciate it, you know.
I've seen that. Yeah. I thought the ACC Network guys did awesome.
I did too.
I was fairly impressed with them. Also had a question. Every coach has got their don't go pro, stay one more year pitch. How much more does Eric Musselman's pitch mean to guys like Isaiah Joe that have got a chance to go since he's got over a decade of NBA coaching? How much more does that mean to him for him to say, hey, man, if you'll stay one more year and get a little bit stronger out, you can increase 4 more draft picks or whatever is that?
Well, I'm sure that it means a lot because anytime you have the NBA experience, and not to say that this is how Musselman's going to approach everything, but I'm sure that not just Eric Musselman, but a lot of his assistant coaches who have a lot of NBA experience, if say, for instance, Isaiah Joe at the end of the season was really thinking about going pro, which he might, but say if he's really thinking about going pro and you could tell that, or at least that you had Eric Musselman and his guys saying, you know, just wait another year, man, and you can really make a lot more money. I would think that they'd be more apt to listen to him because of their experience. Of course, and I know that selfishly, Eric Musselman probably wants him to stay too, but I feel like absolutely that would go a long way with some of these guys.
And I don't know Isaiah Joe personally. I don't know what his thoughts are on trying to be part of something here at Arkansas that would be historic, legendary. I mean, with these young players coming in, we know that freshmen can contribute and do great things right away in basketball. Isaiah Joe could be the one to lead Arkansas back, even if it's just to a Sweet 16. But it could be bigger than that with a talent that appears to be on the horizon for Arkansas. Then you add a Vanover into the mix. You add it, some of the pieces that are not there for the puzzle right now. John, part of my pitch, if I'm Eric Musselman, is, hey, Isaiah, stay another year and become a Razorback legend. Mm-hmm. You're a great player. Stay another year, and you could quite possibly be the guy that leads us back to heights we hadn't seen in 20-plus years.
Yeah.
And be a legend at Arkansas.
Yeah. That would be my pick.
And I don't know if that resonates with that young man or not, but to me, that's a realistic, that's not pie in the sky. Because I think with what's there now, what's returning, and what's apparently on the way, Sweet 16 or better is not out of the realm next year.
No. I mean, you're...
Be the guy to lead this team, lead this program to that.
And you
can be a legend at Arkansas.
Yep.
And he's on the cusp of that now. But you add a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight, or, you know, you got to be very lucky to get to a Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
But they're going to have a guy that, I don't know if Vanover's a back to the basket guy, but they're going to have a five next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a real five.
Yeah. You're going
to. And you look at the teams that go to the Final Four, John, they all have someone that fits that role.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, you also have great guard play, of course, with returning, because you'll assume that Mason Jones is coming back too. So you have those guys adding into some of these freshman phenomena. I mean, next year could be a complete and total recipe for a big time season. I mean, it really could.
So don't miss out on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my sales pitch.
Yeah. And I think that there could be a lot to that, especially because even if you think of just the past, this millennium and some of the Razorback basketball players, because let's be honest, they have not gone to the Sweet 16 since 96. I think everyone understands that. So it's hard to say that players have become iconic because of the tournament, because they haven't gone very far. But there's guys like a Ronnie Brewer, who people remember in that era as being that guy. Even a guy like a Sonny Weems, a Bobby Portis, a Daniel Gafford. Guys that were the pioneers of getting that those Razorback teams that they were on to the tournament, close to making maybe those advances, being those big-time players that were box office guys you wanted to go watch. Isaiah Joe could be that guy. Absolutely. And with the extra help that he's going to have, especially on the interior next year, with Connor Vanover obviously going to be eligible, and then a guy like Jalen Williams going to be the true freshman there, could open him up big time as well and make his game even that much better.
The other thing you see with teams that advance deep into the tournament, you've had some Kentucky teams that had freshmen, and we know about the Fab Five way back with Michigan, but those are anomalies.
Oh, yeah, those don't happen.
Teams that get there generally are teams that have at least one or two or three role players or stars on the team that are juniors or seniors. It's just hard for young players to know how to cope and deal with everything that comes along with the pressure of March basketball. I'm just telling you, those guys coming back, you know, we're putting the cart like 2 miles in front of the horses here. I understand that. But that's what, to me, is possible next season if everything stayed together.
Mm-hmm. That's the key, if everything stays together.
And here's what would be weird. We see Musselman as a guy that hits the transfer portal a lot, likes to get transfer players, grad transfers, this and that. He wouldn't have to do much with what he's already got committed, assuming everyone signs. He's only got one that's signed. Everyone else has got to sign in April.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming everything pans out and stays the way it's supposed to stay, and let's just say you get KK to add it, you go 4 or 5 on those guys. What's there left to do as far as, putting the puzzle together?
Yeah.
But he may still launch somebody out and hit the eject button on somebody because that's what he thinks he can find a better player for the ninth guy or 10th or 11th guy on the team. He will.
Yeah, because even, because I guess what's the only senior is Adriel Bailey. Am I right in that? It's Adriel Bailey's the only senior. So, I mean, that's really the only guy you're going to lose as far as being an upperclassman this year. But no, it is setting up perfectly. And this is where the excitement's coming for Eric Musselman. It's not only the differences have you seen on this team and the way that they're playing, especially defensively, but the way that they're recruiting. It's all perfect timing. It's a perfect storm. And this is where the excitement comes into play. You don't want to put the cart before the horse. They still have this season to go. But you know what? They're 6-0. They're 6-0. They want Tommy, and I'm giving this up to Hog Stats because hopefully this is right. Don't fail me on this stat, Hog Stats. But this was the first true road non-conference Power 5 game that they've won in 15 years. Think about that. The first true road game against a non-conference Power 5 team that they've won in 15 years.
Jimmy Witt's a senior, too.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy, of course.
So is Gentile Sela. So.
Okay, so there you go. So you have three of those guys leaving, so you know those spots.
Sela, Bailey, Jimmy Witt Jr.
That's right. That's right. I don't know if it's Jimmy Witt. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's setting up perfectly. It's setting up perfectly to where this could be really fun.
And we're not saying that all this is going to – I'm just saying that's what the potential is.
Yes, that's key.
This is what the potential next year could be if you keep an Isaiah Joe and a Mason Jones with you.
Yeah, and let's be honest, too, Tommy. The NCAA tournament's a crapshoot. It's a about matchups. Yes. Why is the NCAA tournament so amazing?
Because we don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Who would have thought that a 16 seed would ever beat a 1 seed?
Nobody.
In Georgia or Virginia.
Yeah.
No one would have thought that, but it happened. Do you think that Virginia had a good season? Do you think they won 30 games that year?
They were
year?
The number, not just a number. They weren't just a 1 seed. They were the number 1 overall seed in the tournament. This was a true 1 versus 64 game, and they got beat.
Yeah. And their regular season was great. And you know what all added up to? Nothing. So it's not about it's about getting to the NCAA tournament, but also doing something in the NCAA tournament, which Arkansas has not done in quite some time.
Hey, do you have experience transporting frozen and refrigerated goods and you want to be a part of a trucking family with insurance and be home every week? Brent Higgins Trucking can offer that opportunity for you. They've been doing it since 1997. They're located in Mulberry, that's the headquarters, but they proudly deliver to and from various areas of the United States, including but not limited to Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Brent Higgins Trucking, where your name, not just a number. Call Brent today, 479-997-2366. That's 997-2366. Or go online and apply there at BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
And a couple other things, of course, I just forgot. It was Ethan that called in just a second ago. You know, he was talking about the ACC network team. I tweeted this out last night, Tommy, and I don't know if you noticed this. And again, it doesn't matter, but I was really impressed with them because that could have been the most homer call of all time when you're on the ACC network, where they're all just about Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech. They were really fair and balanced, and I thought they did a really good job.
Well,
and I don't say that very often, but I wanted to throw that out there too.
Dan Bonner's. How many years did he do the NCAA tournament on CBS?
For a long time.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Bonner's an experienced hand, and I'll tell you one thing, and it's just the official in me. Dan Bonner correctly and accurately talked about a lot of the rules last night, and I appreciated that because so many of the announcers, here's the problem. They get things wrong, and they say something that's inaccurate about a rule.
And then everyone gets mad.
No one gets mad because they assume they're right. Well, the guy on ESPN said da-da-da-da-da-da, but that's not the rule, you know? But that's not what the rule is. They called it that way because the rule required. He was very up to date on that, and I know I'm alone in that from people in the media. But I mean, we need people on TV getting rules accurately interpreted to the audience because the problem is the general public out there just assumes that that guy's on the SEC network, the ACC network, ESPN.
He's right.
He knows what he's talking about. Well, I'm here to tell you, I hear game in and game out guys talking about rules, and they're not right. We're talking about the current rule changes. I thought Dan Bonner did a good job last night of translating that to the audience in a couple of key situations in the game where new rules came into play.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to start campaigning for Tommy Kraft to get on the IMG Learfield broadcasting with Chuck and Z. So anytime there's a call that Zimmerman's losing his mind on, let's go to our officiating analyst, Tommy Kraft, and then you can explain to the people in your radio voice the call.
Yeah.
And why it's accurate.
If I'd have been there last night, Thanksgiving would have gotten on the air. I'm just telling you. It would have happened. So.
Then they would have fired you immediately. After one game, they would have just thrown you off there. They're like, if you're going to start coming in with that weak noise, then they're going to throw you off of there. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
That's the theme of today's show.
Mason Jones for the win.
Happy Thanksgiving. Like, what? How did you think of that? Is this just something that honestly just popped in your head?
This mind is not just, this head on my shoulders is not just here to look pretty.
Did your son tell you that? Did your son say it to you?
I'm
going to
tell you, I was outside by the fireplace watching the game last night all by myself. Family was inside watching a movie on the Hallmark Channel. I was so thankful there was an Arkansas game on last night. So they're all down there watching something on the Hallmark Channel. God bless them. Some Christmas movie.
It's wholesome.
Mason Jones' shot goes in. They stuck their head out the door to check. I think they thought I'd fallen in the fireplace because I was yelling and screaming. And
yeah.
I was doing the double pump fist like Chuck Barrett was doing. Yeah. Who did not? Tell me you did not come out of your seat out there. When that shot went in, if you just sat there and lifeless, I mean,
you ain't got no life,
man.
Well, that
was just great to have a moment where you could actually be
excited
and jubilant about Arkansas sports.
I think I made my dog Rowdy crap himself. Like he was so scared of what, because he was just full on asleep when that one happened. And I mean, it was incredible. Because listen. Even if you weren't a Razorback fan, if you're just a basketball fan, you see that, you're going to go crazy. You're going to be like, oh, my goodness.
If it was just a game and you're a...
It's an NCAA tournament game, man.
Flip over, oh, this game's in overtime. I'm going to go over here and check out the end of this one. I mean, it was just an exciting end.
Yeah. I mean...
And Arkansas was just so fortunate to get a shot off. I mean, whew. And then I'll tell you what else they were fortunate on. Mason Jones down there talking to his buddy from the other team. And they had six players on the floor. Coach Musselman's really intense and fired up even after they made the shot.
No, he didn't want a technical.
He was mad because they were about to get a technical. What a way. That would be like the most Arkansas thing ever. Lose the game in that fashion.
I would have stopped watching Razorback basketball for at least a week.
Oh.
If that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, good thing the officials were paying attention. You want to hammer the officials? They could have easily inbounded that ball with six on the floor.
You don't make that call in that type of situation.
Yes, you do.
You don't make that call, Tommy.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat. Is that talk a little Razorback basketball and football with him? Tom, how you doing this morning, man?
Hey, dude, sounds like a split personality, a little schizophrenia there going by you guys with the wondrous winning call and then the Edmund Fitzgerald, man. It's beautiful.
We like to be like a little oil and water here on the Morning Rush and mix it up a little bit. Two things that probably don't go together, but somehow we make it work. Let's talk about the call you just heard. Mason Jones banking in a three for the victory in overtime over Georgia Tech. I know Razorback fans really wanted something to get excited about. And, Tom, wasn't a pretty game, but Arkansas still gets the victory nonetheless.
Yeah, I guess the team that kind of had their number for the last, 50 years or 60 years. And I'm sure you guys have already split this game up, sliced it up 10 ways to Sunday. But my take is this. It looked like they were tired going down the stretch when they got up 57-50. With about four something to play, their offense just went really stale. I mean, it consisted of Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe passing the ball to each other for a couple of possessions and then not getting off very good shots. And maybe their legs weren't in their jumpers in that period and also in overtime. It's startling to think that a team could win by getting two free throws and no points until the last second of overtime. In about a 10-minute stretch, but it was due to their defense. They got some turnovers, and that didn't go away. And thankfully, they had Mason Jones. I wish he had taken a few more shots in overtime. I wish he had had the last shot of regulation instead of a kind of an off-balance shot by Jimmy Witt, who has been good on those mid-range type shots.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Jimmy Witt because he was the star of the show, if you will, on Friday, led the team. And then last night just struggled on the mid-range jumper. What do you think the difference was?
Well, he had a really tough guard. He had that number zero guy. Devon last night.
DeVoe.
So sometimes it's just it's such an intense guard for you that sometimes it doesn't equate to success on the other end. I'm not saying that was it, but he did a great job on that dude because he shot 4 of 16, 25%. You'll take that every day against the other team's ace scorer. The Razorbacks were fortunate. The point guard was out. Banks exploited them some. But think about this. As big of an exploitation as Georgia Tech had on the inside, they got a few dunks, a few really pretty good post-ups. They did a good job of mixing up when they fronted them, how they switched pick and rolls and all that kind of stuff. It's because they're sharp defensively, and they wound up overcoming a deficit of what was about 14 or 16 on the rebounding totals.
Well, Tommy, you mentioned how this team looked like they were a little fatigued at the end of the game. I mean, Jimmy Witt played every single minute of this game. He had 45 minutes. He had Isaiah Joe play 43 minutes. Both Mason Jones and Desi Sills played 39 minutes. I guess the big concern a lot of Razorback fans is, as great as it was to win last night, how sustainable is this? Because you're talking about just six games into the season. This might be one of the most difficult things, is trying to find ways to make sure that these guys are staying fresh, staying healthy, and making sure that you're not overplaying them a little bit here in the early going.
Yeah, that's a great question. And when they get into some tournament settings and all, that might be a negative for them. However, we've seen many teams over the years, and Eric Musselman has talked about some of his Nevada teams just went seven deep. When you're playing every three or four nights, you can. I think these kids are young and they can bounce back. There's some flexibility to them, and I think I remember the Georgia Tech team way back that had John Sally and Mark Price and those guys. They played seven deep, and they were an NCAA tournament team. So it can be done. You just wish they kind of had some 6'8", 6'9", guys that just could go in there and rebound and defend, you know. All you need from them. But last night in the closing stages, it didn't look like Silla or Jalen Harris or Reggie Chaney even took off their warm-up top. You know, they were on that bench.
Yeah. Now that you've seen six games and we got enough to at least make form an opinion, has your expectations changed for this year's team? Where were you to begin with? I don't know if we put that on the record, so to speak. And where are you at now as far as the ceiling for this team?
No, we never did. I was thinking around 500 in conference, or maybe 8-10 in conference. And I wouldn't bump that up more than maybe 10-8 in conference. I just think that they're going to be in games. And when they frustrate the other team with their defense and do something great at the end of a game like Mason Jones did last night, they're going to pull out some games. But what we mentioned, that depth, lack of a bench could be some things. Could be that it haunts them in some games too, but for right now, 6-0, they're flying high. They got a few home games in a row here that against teams that of lesser names like Northern Kentucky, that they should be able to take care of business, and they're going to build up some momentum going into conference play. And I just think that Eric Musselman and his staff have done a great job connecting to the players. They believe in that defense. And they just need to work on their offensive flow late in games. You could see that, man. It just slowed down.
Yeah. Let's shift gears real quick before you go. Football yesterday, Barry Lunny met with the media. He'll have his final radio show tonight. Short week as they get ready for Missouri in Little Rock. He was really clear, emotional, adamant about what Little Rock means to him. Do you think that translates to this team and you get a better effort because the head coach is passion for this Little Rock venue?
It'll translate to some. There's no question about that. I think he did some good stuff on their way to Baton Rouge in terms of connecting to those players and showing them how much it meant to him, how passionate he was about the Razorbacks playing good football. And I think we're going to see a good effort. Certainly not an opponent that strikes fear into you. If they can do a good job of somehow keeping Kelly Bryant from hurting them and with the hamstring injury and with the knee, he should not be as mobile, so that's a plus. And if they can keep Roundtree from really gouging them, you know, one good sustained effort, get something going offensively, they're going to have a chance in this game, no doubt.
Tom Murphy, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate it, Tom. Have a happy Thanksgiving, man. We'll see you next week.
You bet. You bet. The same to you guys. See you.
All right. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Glad you're here.
Tommy, I swear. You're gonna wear that out.
My goal. It's got a short shelf life.
Yeah, yeah. In case you're just joining us, by Tommy is very proud of the tweet that he put out last night, where after Mason Jones, as you heard the call from Chuck Barrett, banked in the three for the victory, Tommy tweets out, "Happy Thanksgiving,
Mason Jones, for the win." I like the tweet. The thing I like more about it is you were the first to respond with "delete this."
Yes.
Now I'm just going all in on it.
Yeah. I wanted to go easy on you because I thought about tweeting a picture or a meme, if you will, that's what the kids do these days, of a bag of Doritos, but it says Delitos.
Delitos.
Just telling you to delete it. It's kind of my go-to thing.
Hey, but you said I should tweet more.
Now you did, or I did. I think you did.
I think it's glorious. So.
Listen, and of course, I'm halfway joking. It's just a very much of a dad joke, which you're dad, so you're okay to do that. And you've gotten a lot of likes as you've been giving me updates on the numbers.
You want a new update?
Yeah, give me a new update because I'm just baiting.
Do we have a sounder or anything for the update?
No, you don't deserve a sounder yet for this.
360 likes, 21 retweets.
Have you ever had that much interaction on a tweet before?
I don't take Twitter nearly as seriously. I'm like Ty Webb. I just measure myself against other tweeters by height, you know.
Are you 5'3"
and a half?
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, it doesn't matter about your interactions, your likes or your retweets. Hey, it's about quality over quantity.
That was pretty quality.
So yeah, Tommy, you got the quality tweet there. I'll give it up to you, but still, it's a great dad joke. Just don't overdo it though. Don't start thinking like you got to come up with something new and fresh every single time now. Just
act like this is the first good tweet I've ever sent out.
What's the other one?
I'll have to get back to you.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. But you know, it's amazing how social media works because one of the best tweets I've ever seen my buddy got like 5,000 retweets, which he doesn't have any.
5,000?
Yeah. You know what it was? Malik Monk still lost to Cabot. It was after he had gotten bounced out of the NCAA tournament. But the fact that he still lost to Cabot. And then people just blew up on it. It's like sometimes you never know what's going to end up being a success when it comes to Twitter. Some people just latch on to things. But
again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, Bradford and Van Buren tweets in or texts into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, says, no, Thanksgiving is fine. Yeah.
You're the only one that's kind of been against this.
Because I'm not a dad.
What not? And it's a dad. You think everybody else out there is?
Well, Maddie's for it, but I think Maddie is.
I also liked the quote, it's a Thanksgiving miracle.
The Thanksgiving miracle last night. Smart. Yeah. The Thanksgiving miracle.
You better go down to the copyright office and start, making T-shirts. And I think
Chuck should have closed his call of the play with.
As good as that
worked, Thanksgiving. You would have thought it was awesome then.
No, I would have. Because I like Chuck.
Oh, that
I don't
Chuck
like you.
That call.
I like Chuck. I don't like you. No, it would have been better if Zimmerman yelled it just in the middle of Chuck's call.
It's the Thanksgiving miracle.
Yes, exactly. If Zimmerman would have done that, I mean, that would be on our intro for years to come if that was the case.
Mason Jones with a Thanksgiving miracle.
Oh, see, and we need to find the Democrat Gazette and see if that
should have been the headline.
Thanksgiving.
They actually
miracle.
Printed a paper anymore, you know.
Oh yeah. Well,
read it on your iPad.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the iPad headline, you can put it up there. So, anyways, that's Tommy's thing. It's a happy Thanksgiving, everybody, which is good because Thanksgiving, it all makes sense. So, but kudos to you, Tommy, for
Robert said it made him laugh. So I'm getting a lot of good feedback over here. I'm sorry you're jealous about it. You know.
Yeah. You know, because I like.
You're just mad you didn't think of it first.
I will say it was clever to think about. I'm not denying its cleverness. Yeah. I'm not denying it. It was just, I think it's just because you tweeted it. Like, if anybody else would have tweeted it, like, it's like you and Bart Pullman, like the two people would have tweeted that, I would have been like,
done?
Oh, come on. But you know what? That's the thing. So it's like you tweeted it, Tommy, and I'm glad you did and no one else did because there could have been other obvious ones. I'm just giving you kudos. So anyways, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
We're up to 367 now.
Thank you.
I'll keep you updated.
Yes,
we're going to see if we can hit 500 likes by the end of the show.
I'm just desperate to know exactly how this is going to go. But that's okay, folks, because we're going to switch gears a little bit. Who knows? Tommy may be in this segment because it is time for Scrubs and Dubs here on The Morning Rush.
Some people were born to get dubs.
I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word. And I'll whoop any man in the world, and I want everybody out there on TV to know it. I am the greatest.
Others were born to be scrubs.
These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year.
Don't listen to him, Hank. He's a loser.
Good thing we get to decide who gets dubs and who's the scrubs on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for Dubs and Scrubs, brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas.
Yeah, save up to $2,700 or no interest for 5 years on brand new Hot Springs hot tubs during Burton Pools and Spas holiday sale in Springdale and in Fort Smith. Every hot tub in stock is on sale. Over 60 luxury spas to choose from, starting at $26.95. And hey, this includes delivery, setup, cover, startup chemicals, and get you ready to go for Thanksgiving. You'll stay warm and cozy this holiday season with a new hot tub from Burton Pools and Spas. Springdale and in Fort Smith, your source for Thanksgiving fun.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make this into a Festivus thing where it's like it gets created.
I'm just seeing how far I can push you on this deal.
Yeah. And then
this
nope.
should be a new hashtag. Everybody yeah. hashtag Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I think we should hashtag
it. Yeah. Just get it going viral. And then you got to think up rules, whether it's the feats of strength or the airing of grievances. You got to have a poll, you know, something like that to where it all makes sense. So you're gonna milk that for what it's worth.
Thanksgiving takes place 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Apparently so. Apparently so. All right, so let's go ahead and kick this off. You know, let's do our dubs. Let's do our dubs this time around. I'll start with the good ones. My dub is the obvious one, Mason Jones. Because, listen, anytime that you're struggling in a game as a team, especially one that you can't buy a basket for as long as you did last night, like Arkansas had that situation, to go out to not only to make that shot, but to have the confidence in yourself, which I don't think he lacks any of that if you've seen his personality. But he took the ball in his hands. He went up and he got the ball and he celebrated. And I know that people are like, sometimes his personality can kind of irk people a little bit because it seems like sometimes he likes to talk too much. He was waving bye to the crowd a little bit. You know, that's just what basketball players do. But he's a wild card. It's great that he made the shot. I'm hoping that this is a boost of confidence for not only him, but for the entire team. And also, I'm going to slash that with Eric Musselman. Because
why don't you just take everything then?
Okay, well, that's all right. I'm just saying it because it all goes hand in hand. Because when I was talking about celebrations, the other great thing about it was, I don't know if you saw this, but it was a video actually Pictrell Nation retweeted too. I have never seen a more emphatic hog call than Eric Musselman gave last night after. I mean, if there was somebody in front of him when he does the punch to say go Razorbacks, he might have knocked him out with Mike Tyson type stuff.
Yeah,
so
that was good.
I got to go the celebrations with Mason Jones and Eric Musselman for my dub today.
All right, I'm going Eric Musselman, but for a different reason. Because everybody was like going crazy. Look how intense he is with a tenth of a second to go, and he's still locked into this game. And you know what he noticed, folks? Six players on the floor when they were trying to resume the game. Now, fortunately, the officials were counting as well and did not resume play. But he knew it because Mason Jones was down there talking, as you said, and he needed to be over on the bench.
Yes.
Because he had been substituted for at that moment when they had stopped the game to review and make sure that there should be no more time put back on the clock. And can you imagine the disaster it would have been if Arkansas had received a technical foul that could have tied the game with a tenth of a second ago?
The most Arkansas thing ever with that would have been.
It'd been one shot. It would have been two. But you'd have lost the game, perhaps, or it had to go to another overtime. How deflating that would have been after making the Thanksgiving miracle. And then, but Musselman's right on, instead of losing his head, instead of being wrapped up in the high likelihood of a victory, he was paying attention to the details.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he gets my dub, because that could have been a potential disaster. But fortunately, the three guys in stripes that everybody likes to hate on, and the head coach was paying attention, and that didn't happen.
I don't hate on the refs. I just, you know, sometimes TV Teddy, just I wonder what
TV
his...
Teddy is. He's TV Teddy.
Okay. All right. I was going to ask you how he was looked at from the referee brotherhood.
Well, I mean, he's worked about, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 Final Fours, so he's not horrible, apparently.
Hey, listen, I don't mind TV Teddy. I really don't. I know people just go irate
about
it. He's
part of the show, and referees aren't supposed to be part of the show, but he becomes part of the show.
It's just,
and he's really the only one that does that.
Yeah, because I have never seen anybody call a charge with more intensity than Teddy Valentine.
Oh, no, I've seen that. But it's the simple stuff, like the lane violation last night. and he gets or a ball goes out of bounds, he's down on the floor patting and pointing to the floor, and he gets a little animated at times.
Was that a lane violation last night?
I couldn't, and the TV angle never showed it, but I mean, clearly player was off balance and falling forward. He had to, I mean, standing right there, he didn't just make it up.
True. I mean,
he's standing right there looking at his feet.
Sounded good to me.
I mean, there was clearly get on the line, you violated.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I'm gonna go along.
Dub for Musselman.
Well, I'm gonna go with my scrub again. I got a few of these, but my main scrub I think is Josh Pastner. I don't like that guy. Like, there's just something about him that bothers me. And you know, he got in all that trouble with the Memphis ordeal. He left there. Of course, he took over after John Calipari. Never even got close to being able to follow it up with the greatness that Calipari established there at Memphis. Goes to Georgia Tech. And I don't know. Like I said before, he's just got a very punchable face. And somebody, I forgot who it was that texted in, said he looks like Fred Savage from the Wonder Years. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can kind of see that. But either way, not just that. But the other thing that bothered me, and I'm not even, again, I'm a Razorback fan, so I'm glad this happened. But that technical, dude. Like, that cost you the game. Like, that essentially right there cost you the game to where you could have had a great opportunity to get a big win against Arkansas at home. And I understand that, hey, listen, officials get calls wrong. I don't know what you thought about those calls and those sequence that led to the technical, Tommy. I don't know if they were fair or foul. I don't know. But what I do know is that when you have close games like that, especially when offense is so, like, non-existent for both teams, you got to be able to know your situation, man.
You got to know when you can and cannot get one.
Exactly. And that was not a time where you could get
5:57 to go in the game was not.
You gave Arkansas a 5-point possession, essentially. Well, I guess you extra 2 points. But my point is that you gave Arkansas an opportunity to take a lead.
What, it opened up a 7-point lead? 57-50, if I remember.
I believe so. So
my note taking wasn't real good last night.
It's just not something that you should have done. And imagine if that was Eric Musselman, I would have said the same thing if he would have done that. Like, that dude, you can't do that in that situation when you know it's a defensive battle. You know that buckets are hard to come by. You got to know your situation. So my scrub goes to Josh Pastner for many reasons, but for also the main reason being not knowing your situation in the game as a coach, getting a technical when it ended up, in my opinion, costing you the game.
This is going to be an unfair one, I think, because of the game he had Friday. Those. But Jimmy Witt last night was just driving me insane. It wasn't his night. I mean, basketball is that way. Some nights it's just not going to be your night. There's going to be nights where Isaiah Joe can't make the threes. There's going to be nights where Mason Jones isn't getting it to go down. Friday night, Jimmy Witt was the star of the show. But, dude, last night, those 8 or 9 foot mid-range jumpers he was getting at the just below the free throw line weren't going in. And why they just kept giving it to him and he kept shooting. They were coming up short. Everyone would hit short on the rim, short on the rim. Clank, clank, clank. Arkansas was struggling, you know, and he wasn't able to shoot his way out of it. I don't know when you pull the plug and, hey, dude, it's just not your night. But it became pretty evident early to me that not his night. He's a good basketball player.
He is.
And Arkansas cannot win without him and probably can't get to the NCAA tournament without him. So I'm not hating on him as a player, but sometimes you have a night where
it's not your night.
You know, I need to be an assist man tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought last night was one of those nights.
At the same time, though, it's like, who do you want taking his shots? Because, I mean, Isaiah Joe took 14. Mason
Jones
took 12.
Somebody else is not 3 for 12. Yeah,
no, I understand.
Was.
I understand. But I think he'll be he's a player that'll bounce back.
Yeah, and his next game, it may be a lot better. His last game was a whole lot better. I think this is a team that's got to recognize some nights, you know, it's not going to be Isaiah Joe or Mason Jones or Jimmy Witt Jr.'s night to be the big scorer.
Yeah.
And you can't just always shoot your way out of it, you know. And last night, it just consistently was coming up short for him.
Well, and I wanted to add into, of course,
that fair.
No, that's fair.
Okay, I mean, that's what I saw last night.
No, because it's a senior player, a guy that's obviously got the most experience of anybody.
And he
on
went
your
45
team.
Minutes, and his defense is phenomenal. Yeah. But I just would rather
offensively.
At some point, someone else needed to be taking shots last night.
No,
there was a lot of empty possessions that maybe could have avoided overtime.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you on it.
Jimmy Witt's a key part of this game, and the defense was awesome by this whole team, but that was part I didn't like.
No, I'm totally with you on that one. I want to go back and get, I meant to do this as another dub too, but I want to give a dub where credit is due. The ACC Network crew last night, the broadcast crew.
Yeah.
I was fully expecting, I'll admit, I haven't watched the ACC Network very much, if at all.
How many people last night, that was their first time to tune in the ACC Network?
It was mine.
I mean, I've tried it out. That's the longest I've ever watched anything there.
Yeah, like it was good for me. So I was sitting there and I'm watching it, and I was like, this is going to be a homer broadcast. I know I'm going to hear it on Twitter. They're going to be like, these commentators are terrible,
and refs aren't any good either.
Yeah, I was completely and totally waiting for it, but it didn't happen. They actually did a really good job. They were very fair to both teams. They were very complimentary of Arkansas. I think that they deserved a little credit. So I wanted to give a dub to them, and also give a dub to Ill-Advised Seal on Twitter. I don't know your real name, but that's okay. He hooked me up with a YouTube TV subscription so I could watch the game last night.
You got like a rogue password, username and password?
He just added me to the family plan.
Well,
so I got to give a shout out to him for doing that. That was very nice of him. He didn't have to do that because apparently I did not have a subscription to ACC Network. I didn't feel like it was really worthy of being called, because I have every other sports network. I thought ACC came with it, but apparently not.
He could come over and watch it with me. All you had to do was holler.
Yeah, I was fine watching it at home.
You didn't have to go to the deep state to
I had my chicken and broccoli on the crock pot.
That's pretty good. We had chicken and we had turkey and dumplings.
I should have really come over. Good. Well, now that you mentioned that, maybe I should have come over then. But either way, I'll remember that.
Fire
next
in
time
the fireplace. It was awesome.
But yeah, no, it was really good. Shout
nobody
out.
Nobody bothered me. So I'm glad you didn't come over.
Yeah, seriously, wouldn't have been good. But Ill-Advised Seal, thank you for the hookup there. So I got to give you a dub as well. Any more dubs and scrubs from you?
The Thanksgiving tweet. Just want to give a dub to all.
I'm giving that a scrub.
The 391 likes it's gotten. So I can feel your jealousy from across the room.
Like, all you people out there that's liking his tweet, do you not understand what you're doing? Do you not know what
you're
type of fuel?
You're making John mad, and that's what this is all about.
Do you not understand what type of fuel to the fire that you're giving to this man? This man that has his head can't even fit through the doorway now this morning?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
My goodness gracious. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone more proud of a tweet than Tommy Kraft.
Well, when you said to delete it, I said, I'm going all in on this dude. You know, when I figured out real quick I'd gotten under your skin, I said, we got to go full on Stu Gotts, go all in on this. Ride or die with this thing, man. That's what we're doing. Clearly it's working.
Yeah, I'd rather die than have to keep going along with this. But I know, hopefully it's just for today.
You're the only naysayer. You're the only one.
It's not I'm naysaying. I told you I'd give it credit for it.
Matt, is he naysaying?
I think he is. I think he's jealous. John tweets.
You smell
about,
that? Smells like jealousy, doesn't it?
Yeah, John tweets about 75 times a day.
Oh, yeah. I tweet about 75 times a year.
Yeah, and then you see the response you get? It's like, it's quality over quantity, John.
People know what they're reading out there, John. They recognize good stuff when they read it.
Because you're saying this because it's your tweet. Because if I would have said this, if I would have had a tweet like that, and then I told Tommy, whatever, you would not have congratulated me.
Congratulate. Hey, that's an awesome tweet there.
Yeah, I bet you would have.
One away from 400 now as we speak. It's like the Jerry Lewis telethon. We're going to get this baby all the way to 500.
Come on.
Yeah, we need one more.
Have you gained any followers?
I don't know. How many did I have to begin with?
I don't know. It's your profile. You had like,
it says here, I've had... I don't know. You may have to tell me how to read this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone named Darren Ming and 27 others have followed me this morning as a result of this glorious. I don't know. It says Darren Ming. I don't know.
That didn't sound like a real person.
No, there's no egghead there. So.
Okay. Well, see, now Seth, now Gordon here on Twitter is now quote tweeting it and tagging me in it.
There you go.
He's like doing this in spite.
Yeah.
Everyone's spiting me this morning. It's supposed to be Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be
now we're 408. We're on our way.
Watch the numbers go up.
I know it. Isn't that great?
I'm just doing a refresh on your timeline to see.
410. We're moving on up. Like the Jeffersons. We're moving on up.
How did this happen? Like, I shouldn't have...
Your
even,
response.
That's what it was. Had nothing to do with the tweet.
We couldn't be here without you.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And don't forget a hashtag Thanksgiving miracle, everyone.
Yes. Yeah, throw the hashtag in and make it go viral. And I tell you what, I am fully expecting the University of Arkansas...
We need a Mason Jones retweet on this is what we need.
If they put out... The University of Arkansas put out on the Razorback basketball Twitter account... If they put out today and a recap of last night, they say it's Thanksgiving or Happy Thanksgiving or something like that. I
mean, that'd be even more glorious.
I might stick my head in the oven and see how long I last. Yeah. Because
it's an electric oven, John. I don't think it works the same.
Well, okay, but still, I'll try. I'll try it at least. So, yes, congratulations, Tommy.
Just stick it in the toilet.
Yeah, that'll do it. Do your read and let's get out of here. Let's just do your read.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
How's your tweet coming, Tommy?
I don't know. Let me check again. We were getting near 500. That was the goal here this morning. I've lost it now there on the feed.
Don't worry, Tommy. I got it.
You got it? Give me an update.
It's 486.
486. All right, we can do this. I need 14 more. Keep getting all these other ones. You're going to show me what all this means.
Yeah, what are you saying, getting all these other ones? Other one what?
Like mentions, or is that what they call them?
Did they tag you in the tweet?
Yes.
Then yes, it's called a mention.
Yeah.
See, this is what's even... This makes it even worse, because like he has no idea what it is. He has no idea what Twitter is and how it works.
Well, I kind of do. I have a 9-year-old show me.
489.
489, all right. 11 away. Here we go.
Like, here's the thing. Like, we could probably really put together something great to, like... try to promote something amazing.
We need one more retweet, though. We're at 49. We can't end at 49.
Why do you
want... Use one of your burner accounts. I know you got like 11 of them.
One more retweet. Yeah. We just need 10 more likes, people. Yeah. Come
well,
on.
Well, you here got 50 retweets now.
All right. The 51. All right, here we go.
You're 50. You got 493
now. I mean, really, this is the true meaning of Thanksgiving, isn't it?
It's the meaning of Thanksgiving, yes. The Thanksgiving miracle.
495.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to. I'm just sitting here, and we're gonna wait until it hits to 500.
Yeah.
And then so you can.
I don't
can,
think it's gonna take long.
96.
We need two more. We're up to 52 retweets. Two more likes, and we'll be
all right,
there.
We're there.
499.
Oh my gosh.
500. Oh. Woo!
Yes. See, you can't say it's just a terrible dad joke anymore. You can't get 500 likes on a terrible dad.
500
joke.
People on Twitter disagree with you, John.
Yeah, John. You're the only naysayer in all this.
I'm one of the people that liked the tweet.
You said to delete it.
I know, but it doesn't mean I didn't like it.
I feel like your like was passive aggressive.
Yeah. That's what it was. Oh my gosh. You even have this girl.
I feel good about this.
I even have a girl that I used to date that retweeted you on this thing. Like, what is this?
Both of them did it?
No, Tommy, there's just the one. It's just the one. I don't know what happened here on the Morning Rush today.
I got one
know.
More day, and then we can eat all the turkey and baked beans we want. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we're having a, were we calling it Thanksgiving type
we
thing
have,
tomorrow?
We have traditionally, for many years here in the office, had a Thanksgiving luncheon for the staff. But we don't do turkey and dressing because everybody's going to eat all that they want.
It's a Thanksgiving potluck.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are you bringing?
Chips. And I'm going to bring dip. We're having a dip contest.
Oh, you're
apparently.
Participating in the contest?
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
Yeah, we're having a dip contest this year, folks.
Which John lost last year.
Yeah, and he's going to lose again this year.
It was rigged last year. That's fine.
And he's been bitter about it for the last year.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you knew what the prize was for winning it, you would understand.
It's dinner at Doe's.
Yeah.
It's a gift card to Doe's Eat Place.
Yeah.
So it's a worthy prize.
Yeah. So it's not like I get a Morning Rush t-shirt.
No.
Like I actually get something worth value. And that's getting an entire dinner to Doe's, which is absolutely
And you would
incredible.
Spend the whole gift card on yourself. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obvious. But that's why I was so bitter about it. And so now that we're having this new dip contest, Matty T won't even divulge what dip
because
he's
making.
Because
I know you're going to try to steal my idea.
Yeah.
I'm not Ty. Like, I'm not going to steal anybody's stuff. But no, I'm going to be out here. I'm going to create the dip of my choice, and we'll see how you do and how Tommy does and everybody.
Are you going to say what dip you're doing?
Yeah, I'll say what dip is doing. I don't care. I'm doing salsa again.
All right.
Just salsa?
Just
salsa. This is your famous.
I mean, just salsa.
I say that's good news. That's good news.
Well, the only time I've tried your salsa, it was like pureed into a soup form. So this is going to be
yeah, let
the
him use the high-powered mixer at the house.
You the Ninja or whatever.
Oh,
it was.
Yeah.
When
that
you made
thing.
Salsa at my house.
It was good, but it was like a good, nice salsa soup.
Well, I didn't know your thing was going to have like a turbine engine on it when I turned it on.
Only the best.
I mean, that thing almost took off and landed.
It's a Vitamix.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I found that out. So, no, that's not normally how, it doesn't become puree.
Well,
I'm looking forward
to trying the real stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Maddie, for that compliment, that you're looking to try it. But I don't know what you're making. I don't know. I don't think Ty's doing anything this year. I don't think he knows anything.
But Jeff from the sales department has texted into the show, said he didn't know about the contest, but he'll be involved. He's going to be the reigning champ again. So
okay,
he's coming after you.
Well, we need to find a better way on this system to vote.
Yeah, who votes? I don't understand.
Everybody gets a vote. Everyone that...
But they know whose is whose.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So somebody just may have it out for you, and they're like, well, just means nobody likes you,
John. I think it's Betty, because me and Betty... Like, me and Betty have to work closely together on all the radio stations, and I drive her up a wall when I want to change things. So I think that that's where it's all coming from. So I just think
it says more about what the rest of the staff thinks of you, not your dip.
But see, that should be thrown out the window. No bias.
So you want to do blind taste testing, not tell anybody who brought what?
I think that would be fair.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
I honestly do, too. Yeah, just have like a number, you know.
Yeah, just a number. No one says anything.
No one says who brought what. Two.
All right. Yeah, let's just do that. By the way, Barry just tweeted at me. He says, dude, you sound like my daughter when I go to the pocket for correct change. What's that mean? Tommy, you're old. Does you not understand what that means?
I don't think I'm old enough.
Okay, yeah, I don't get that. Try to reiterate the point, Barry. I don't know exactly what you're trying to say, but I'm sure it's insulting. Going off of your going off of your thing. Hey, Turtle Racer texted. He's like, hey, Tommy, how many retweets for? By the way, RT. If you ever see that, Tommy means retweet.
Thank you.
He says, how many RTs for a Morning Rush T-shirt?
Well, who would I give it to?
I guess to Turtle Racer. I guess.
Well, how many? He can only give me one.
Once.
I mean, how many times can he retweet it?
I don't know. I'm just reading the text.
That doesn't even make sense.
I'm just reading the text. That's all I'm doing. Tyler Fable says, let Ruskin be judge. No.
Now that, hey, now he knows his food.
He hates everything. Like, well, what do you think? How do you
just you?
Oh, do you think Ruskin, I'm the only one that Ruskin hates? Have you listened to his radio show?
You did 45 minutes on how, you know, it sucks so bad.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, it's all part of staying in character, you know.
Oh. Well, he is a character after all. Yeah. Bob in Hot Springs just texted in and said, banked beans, question mark?
Yeah. You hadn't been here all morning, clearly, Bob.
Yeah.
Everything we've turned into bank, beans. You know, Banksgiving, bank beans. You didn't know if Mason Jones hit a bank shot to win the game last night.
Somebody said the coleslaw is so good at Sassy's, you can take that to the bank.
There you go. There you go. It's under John's skin, so I've just kept, I mean, we ripped the scab off hours ago. We're just digging in there now.
Well, I mean, it's salt a short the week wound. On Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what the heck?
Why not? Why not talk about food and talk about banked, going to the bank and because of Mason Jones' shot last night. So, you know, like you said, though, during the break, you would maybe get able to do Chuck Barrett to do a recreation of this call.
Maybe we'll have Chuck on tomorrow. I'll reach out, as you millennials say. I'll reach out today and see if we can arrange that.
Mm-hmm. We could rewrite history, and then that could be the official call. Mm-hmm.
And then we could really get crazy and have Coach Z on at the same time.
We could do that.
And have them both recreate it and see how it goes, which I'm sure would be an epic failure of epic proportions.
That'll be like our Thanksgiving play.
I'm about sick of this Thanksgiving thing.
We're going to convert you, and by the end of the next few minutes here, you're
You got 523 likes. You got 67 retweets.
And still counting.
You've made it. You've made it.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Like a Florida primary, we're still counting. So,
mm-hmm. By the way, see, this has made me actually go on to Tommy's Twitter account and look at his bio.
Yeah?
Do you know what your bio says?
No.
You don't know. I know you don't.
I wrote it.
All your beginning stuff is just, you know, nonsense. But it's the part that's in the...
Husband to Laura, father to three awesome kids. Yeah, that's nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense. But it says, I'm always in search of great barbecue, golf, and trout fishing.
Yeah, yeah. Those things are true. Yeah.
Hashtag SEC.
I'm always looking for a great brisket sandwich.
Yeah.
Decent golf course and some good trout fishing.
Yeah. Are you going to have any other meats besides turkey on Thanksgiving? Because that's been a big thing that we've been talking about in my family.
Probably not, but we will for Christmas.
Okay.
We've only got like 10 coming for Thanksgiving, so I mean, it's not a big gathering. So if you cook a turkey, that's more than enough, right?
Yeah.
You smoked your turkey?
Smoked turkey. No,
it's
other
already
way.
Smoked?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Or having a fried turkey.
Nothing wrong with that either.
I love me some
fried. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Make sure it's not frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you've seen those videos on YouTube of those things exploding. So you don't want any of that. Yeah. No, I have some crazy people that I know. And I'm not kidding about this. And they're not health nuts either. They're cooking fish.
Sounds healthy.
Is it fried?
But they're not, though. No, it's not fried fish. It's like grilled salmon. How's that Thanksgiving?
Well, back when the Pilgrims and the Indians got together, there was a cornucopia and
salmon for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I can't get on board with that.
Someone's fishy about that.
Yeah, I'm out on that deal.
The puns need to stop.
Nah, I picked that up.
The puns need to stop. So, but that's fun. You're on the show. A lot of people have been texting in.
Here's the problem. You can't have a salmon sandwich the next day.
Ugh, gross.
I mean, nobody wants that.
And this
right?
can stink up your refrigerator.
But you could have a ham or turkey sandwich.
Yeah, the next week.
That's the best part about Thanksgiving is eating the leftovers.
True. You can't do that with salmon. You can't.
No, anybody want to... Hey, let's go out for a salmon sandwich today. Said no one ever.
Is fish worse the second time around, like reheated?
No, not always. I've had some trout sandwiches for breakfast the next morning. They're pretty good.
I feel like that'd be awful.
No, it's actually really good.
Oh. By the way, Nick in Greenwood says, I could be forced to skip work to judge this dip contest that
we're
having tomorrow.
We might need a panel of judges.
He says all this food talk has made him hungry.
I know we're going to have some guacamole. We'll have some cheese dip.
I baked a cake.
Yeah, and Matty T.
Matty T. is bringing cake.
He's bringing cake. Tommy, somebody's bringing drinks, hopefully.
Yeah, I guess I'll
do that. Sodas, if you will, not...
Coke Zero, please.
No, we're official show of the Razorbacks. We got to have Pepsi products down here, guys.
We want to win.
Yeah, Diet Pepsi. Right.
Diet Pepsi for everybody.
You can't even keep a straight face by saying that because you know that is a lie.
I think Musselman's drinking Pepsi, Diet Pepsi
he
during
is.
The game.
Oh, no.
He is. Well, what do you want him to do? He can't drink Diet Coke or Coke Zero.
No wonder he looks mad all the time.
Well, they're 6-0, so maybe it's the key.
I would take the Coke and just rip the label off.
Maybe he pours the Diet Coke or Coke Zero in there.
Something.
And he just keeps the label. For appearance's sake. I don't know.
Surely he's not a Pepsi
man. Anybody that prefers Diet Pepsi.
Oh.
He should be arrested. Like what federal crime.
What they give the terrorists during interrogation.
Yeah.
You know, Diet Pepsi.
Pretty sure
I'll talk.
Yeah. He's like waterboarding them with Diet Pepsi or something like that. Yeah, you don't need any of that stuff, so.
I'll tell you where he is. I'll tell you.
Caffeine-free Diet Pepsi. Could you imagine that? God. Could you imagine that?
I did it. Give me the death penalty.
There are people that buy that stuff. I can't even imagine that. But, hey, Eric Musselman can drink whatever he wants as long as he keeps winning games and staying under fence. Well, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy what?
Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving
there
to all the listeners out there.
There you go.
On the Morning Rush.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.